Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we talk about topics related to fundraising, leadership, coaching, and management. I'm Michelle Malloy-Dillon, and today we're doing a bonus podcast episode. A lot of people in our fundraising leadership community work at universities or are teachers and professors, and of course, many are also parents. We are all doing a lot of meetings on Zoom and other online platforms these days, and we all have an opportunity to be leaders who engage community and create a sense of belonging online in order for learners to be effective. Our guest today is Regina Hellinger. She's an educator who has worked with adults, teens, and young children, currently serving as a fifth grade teacher, and provides professional development for educators in Orange County, Florida. She's also a Coactive Training Institute leadership grad and an amazing coach. Welcome, Regina.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you, Michelle.
It's really great to have you. So Regina and I have known each other for a few years in the coaching community, and she and I were having a conversation just the other day, about this online learning platform and different ways that you as a teacher and as an educator have been engaging learners and creating community. And I was talking about some of the issues my own daughter was having in college currently, where some of her professors have really been bringing in the students to where she feels very included, and some professors just sort of jump right into the material. And my daughter's been feeling sort of like I have no connection and no attachment to this course. So we thought it would be great to have a conversation about these things with our community.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to do it because, believe me, I know, like those professors, this is something that came out of thin air, you know, with everyone dealing with the pandemic. We weren't prepared for this. It's not our ideal situation, and it's hard. And I think one of the biggest things that I reflect on now is how different I'm doing things in the fall than what I did in the spring. And it feels so much better because in the spring, when this first started, my team and I were constantly at wit's end because we were trying so hard to make education what it used to be for our students. And we were spinning our wheels. And, you know, we did okay. Students still learned, but we didn't feel satisfied because we were comparing it to what it used to be.
Yeah.
And this fall, I made a conscious choice to say, you know, what used to be isn't. And I can continue to beat myself up about what I can't provide, or I could look at what this situation is allowing me to do that I wasn't able to do in the past. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of shifted my focus to look at it as sort of an adventure and an opportunity of service, rather than a deficit, and how could I possibly compare to face-to-face instruction, which is what I used to do.
Yeah, so what have you been learning about this online Zoom or whatever platform you've been using opportunities here?
Well, I've used sometimes I realize sometimes it's really fun because I could mute all of my students so I don't have to deal with the management. I'm totally joking. But, you know, I've learned that there are advantages to being online because you actually have better management and the opportunity to interact both with students in whole group, small group, and even one-on-one in a way that doesn't take so much time away from the whole group.
Yeah, well,
I was joking earlier about the mute situation. Sometimes when you're face-to-face in the classroom, you really have to make the rest of the class pause because a particular student or group of students need small group intervention. Well, in this case, I could sort of manage that by using breakout rooms and by using private chat with individuals while the rest of the group is still moving forward in their learning.
Yeah.
So that has been really powerful for our experience to have momentum and for students to be fully engaged as we're moving along, while I'm also able to give individuals and small groups that special attention that they might need from time to time.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I've been noticing in the leadership programs that Janice and Margaret and David and I do that the breakout rooms often create a really wonderful sense of connection with those smaller groups. if they're given the time to personally connect in that smaller, more intimate environment. And that can be some of the most meaningful experiences in the whole course.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a key part of it, what I found is that students need some direction in that. You can't just say, here, I'm going to put you in a breakout room and you're going to do this activity. They really need to be trained and they need to be supported. But when we invest the time in giving them that guidance and support that they need, and then giving them the opportunity to collaborate, like you're saying, with it, with a high expectation. You know, I think that's also a really key part of this. We might be modifying what we're doing, but we should not modify the expectation that we have for our students to strive for excellence and for them to be learning and achieving just as well as they would in face-to-face. Not as not in the same ways, but as much.
Well, you and I are both trained as co-active coaches, and we talk about the balance in co-activity between being and doing, and being being sort of like the relationship that is built. And what are you noticing around online learning and educational setting that the balance between those things needs to be?
Absolutely, that's essential. And that's one of the first things that I started with this year is that we were going to make time every day for a class meeting. That was going to be one of the things that we're in face-to-face. A lot of times I would say, well, as much as I'd love to do this, we just don't have the time. I said, in distance learning, we have to still have community. We still have to have connections. And if I don't prioritize some time each day for us to have those connections, then it's going to fall apart. Yeah. And so we begin each day with a sharing. We do a game. A lot of times it's an educational game, but sometimes it's like, you know, for example, we were talking about doing experiments in the real world, and I sent them on a scavenger hunt to find all the measuring tools that they could in their house. And they came back, you know, one kid came back with a level, and other kids came back with like armfuls of stuff. And it was so cool. Like, we couldn't do that in the classroom, but because they were home, they were able to see how what they learn in school is actually living in their own home and in their community. They got to share with one another. So, you know, it's just essential to prioritize that time to form relationships and use not only the technology is great, but use the fact that they're in their home setting. Yeah. You know, that provides us such a deeper opportunity for them to make that homeschool connection.
Absolutely. And I can't help but think how this applies to teams too. I was just on a coaching call with a client earlier today, and he came up with this idea because he was wanting to create more community, more of a sense of relationship online, because he felt like that's what was sort of falling apart and falling away in this COVID time with 6+ months, you know, on Zoom calls with his team. And he came up with this idea to share something that was on your desk or on your table or in the room where you were calling in from and tell a little story about it. Like, why is it sitting there on your desk as a way to just create from the environment that everyone's in?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then kids get to get excited about that environment. Yes. Look at things with a fresh eye that they might not have noticed before or appreciated.
Yes, absolutely. I also love what you're talking about with this exercise with the fifth graders you did to find the tools, that it involves some movement.
Yes.
And I have noticed in terms of the energy of attention span in courses that I am co-leading, that sometimes there needs to be some movement. And it might just be like, let's all just stand up and stretch for a minute, right? Absolutely. When you begin to notice that energy, sort of like everyone's been thinking too hard or, you know, whatever that is, we're just kind of stuck in this muddy place. That getting up and stretching or moving can actually be really helpful and shift the group into a different energy.
Absolutely. And the other thing, again, talk about the advantage of everybody being in their own home. They can do a physical activity, you know, right within, you know, 5 feet of their recording area, of their desk area, that suits their needs without it having to function in a classroom that has limited space and where kids might be getting in each other's way. You know, and so it gives them that ability to pick what they want, to really honor their authenticity, but to get up and to move, it is essential to do that at least every 30 minutes. Yeah. And like you said, it doesn't have to take long. It could be a 30 second, we're going to do a silly dance move. Everybody show me your silliest dance move. Yeah.
I love it. How fun. You can do that with adults too. Absolutely. So I'm also understanding that it's implied here that everyone's on camera.
Yes. That is a district decision. And I will be honest with you, at first I was a little worried about it. Not just the camera piece, but our district decided that we needed to model a bell schedule, which meant that teachers and students need to be with one another via technology throughout the entire school day. So they are on camera, they are showing their cameras, I am on camera. We're engaging and interacting the entire day long.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And it worked a lot better than I thought. I mean, at first I was somewhat dreading this, you know, constantly being tied to the computer. And I thought, oh, these kids are 10 and 11 years old. They're not going to be able to sustain that type of schedule. But with intentionally planning opportunities for them to move around, keeping things engaging, making those connections, it's actually working well.
I love that word, intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are things that you've noticed are important to be intentional? And I know that, you know, our audience, their parents, they're seeing their kids in these situations. They're also educators. They're also trainers. They're also leaders in nonprofits that are having team meetings galore, like more team meetings than ever before. Yeah, right.
Right.
And so what is that intentionality that you're noticing is really needed?
Well, there's a few things that come to my mind, but first is that we're all going through a lot right now. And fifth graders might not know how to express it. I might not even know how to express it in a day. But we're all having waves of emotion come over us, sometimes unexpectedly. Sometimes we're able to be really present, and sometimes we're not. And so I'm intentionally in tune to the humanness of all of my students. And when they come to me and they're struggling, I know that it has to be my top priority to give them peace of mind. Mm. Because as much as I will not compromise my expectation for them, I also am not going to add stress to the already difficult situation that they're in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like I said, things might look different. I might have to modify, you know, the way they turn in an assignment than what most students need, because it's not working for them the way I had originally planned it. So I have to be intentional about really meeting my students where they're at and making this opportunity one that they can thrive in and feel good about themselves in. Yeah. And not stressed over.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, I hear that there's this, I mean, there has to be results. Like,
right.
The kids have to be taught.
They have to be successful. They have to grow. They're going to be tested, but you know, there's going to be next school year that they have to walk in that door knowing that they're going to be prepared to be successful.
Right.
So we're all working. I am incredibly lucky that I have a group of students that are so committed to their learning. And I tell them that every day, how grateful I am to them for their commitment to show up and give their best. And as long as they do that, I will do my end and we will be successful.
And I'm sure your appreciation resonates and has an impact on them.
It does. Yeah. The other piece to that is I've made it an intention to connect with the parents on a regular basis. We communicate daily via our, Canvas, which is the application that we use, but also other social media things. But I also started doing a meeting with parents every other week, just so that we could be together and say, hey, what's going well? What's frustrating? What do you need from me? You know, so, and, you know, the first time I held it, the parents were like, well, you know, what are you going to share with us today? And I said, well, really, I want you to share with me more than anything. I want to know from you, like, I'm giving my best, but I don't really know how it's landing on the other side. as much as you do. So I want you to tell me, what's your child's stress level like? What's your stress level like? What are you finding helpful? What do you need me to adjust? And so we have been really leveraging that partnership to make sure that we're working together to make it the best environment as possible for other students.
I see this as being, this is part of that new way that's being created. Is this, it's a little bit, well, it is more of a collaboration than ever before.
Absolutely.
So as a leader, as a teacher, I see you collaborating and reaching out there and really asking what's working, what's not working, what's the impact I'm not aware of, like that check-in.
Yep, exactly.
On a regular basis.
Yeah. And the other piece to that, where technology is wonderful, is more parents are able to join those meetings because they can do it from wherever they are. They can do it from their home. They can do it from their work. They can, you know, as long as they can have internet access, they can join us.
Yeah.
And so I see greater involvement. And in addition to that, like, I'm able to pull guest speakers in. You know, I teach a group of students that are, I think my class is 75% Hispanic, and this is Hispanic Heritage Month. So because we're meeting virtually, I can get guest speakers to come in, because most people can, you know, can take 15 minutes out of their day to make a difference in a student's life or a group of students' lives. And so I'm able to give them more than I was when we were restricted to visitors being face-to-face or parent meetings being face-to-face.
Yeah.
So it's opened a lot of doors for opportunity, not just with parents, but also with the community.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so fantastic, Regina. I see you really thinking out of the box and really creating from what's available to you, which is what you had
exactly
said, rather than what's unavailable.
That's the key thing. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. So we'd love to give our listeners something to try at the end of all of our podcasts. So what's a few things that you might suggest that our listeners try?
I would say try to just look at what are the ways that technology gives you the chance to build those relationships and leverage that. I would also say look at what the home environment provides your students that the classroom doesn't, and how can you leverage that? You know, and you leverage your community, leverage I don't know how many parents are involved with the, if you're talking higher education, but whether it be community members, parents, whatever it is, like, bring them in so that students really see the connection between what they're doing in the classroom and what's happening in the rest of the world that they care about.
Yeah, so true. And creating a bridge, because like there's so much of this is so relevant too, to people of all ages and people in teams who may not be working in the educational environment as well. It's
absolutely.
Like, take advantage of the things that are available to your employees or to your teammates at home that aren't normally available, you know, in the office and things like
exactly.
that too. Yeah, reaching beyond those boundaries.
And one other small thing, don't let your students lay on the bed or their couch while they're in class, because they will fall asleep.
I see that you've had that experience before.
You must be sitting up. That's one of my virtual rules. You must be sitting or standing. No laying.
No laying down. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All good tips. Absolutely. Regina, how can people contact you if they'd like to reach out?
I'm on LinkedIn, Regina Hellinger. That would be great. I'd love to hear from people.
Okay. Wonderful. Fantastic. Well, thank you for being with us here today, Regina. It's been a pleasure having this chat. And I know
great,
that you're
Michelle.
You're someone who's full of resources out there. So it's thank you for being our guest.
Thank you so much for having me. It really was an honor.
You bet. Please subscribe if you haven't already to our podcast. And if you enjoyed today's show, please rate and review it. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Now go put it into practice. Yeah.